And take your Bibles to the book of Hebrews. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. Hebrews chapter number 5. What we have been discussing has no business with religion. We're not talking about religion. We are talking about the very life and nature of God inside of you. Has no business with religion. Not a religious thing. The life and the nature of God inside of you is what we are talking about. How you can appreciate, how you can walk in that life, how you can get results. Results of your Christian life. How you can get results living as a child of God. Not just a child of God, not just I'm a Christian like every other person, but you are getting results as a child of God. Because I stand and live, I have the life of Christ, I have Zoe inside of me, because Jesus Christ went to the cross and died for me, I therefore have these experiences. I therefore walk in victory, I walk in abundance, I walk in prosperity because of the cross of Christ. Remember, we said that we're not just talking about when we say because of Christ, we are okay, it's cool. But when we remind ourselves that it is because of the cross that actually Christ went to the cross and paid price, a price for us. If I tell you that this keyboard is yours and you can go and take it. Now, there might be and there can be a certain level of hesitancy. You might hesitate to go get it. When I just say that keyboard is yours, you can go and take it. But when I say that keyboard is yours, I paid for it and I give you the receipt. Now, there will be no need for you to hesitate because you have the receipt in your hand. Because you don't even know whether you are saying, go and take that keyboard, and he could have stolen the keyboard. But it's not a case of theft because he paid for it. So what I'm saying now, when we say that by or because of the cross of Jesus Christ, I experience victory. We're not just saying I experience victory because Jesus Christ is somewhere. We are saying I experience victory because of the cross of Christ, because Christ actually went and paid the price for my victory and for your victory. And so we prosper and we live in health because of the cross of Christ. We excel in our lives because of the cross of Christ. You and I will experience favor in our lives because of the cross of Jesus Christ. And that is something you and I, we need to appreciate, that Christ went to the cross and paid the price. There should be that mark, that difference in our lives. And we have been discussing this, and we said, listen, we want to discuss and talk about this till we begin to see that these things manifest in our lives. Hallelujah. I mean, there's a benchmark set for us, at least a benchmark set, till your shadow begins to heal the sick. Come on. We're not going to stop discussing this. Somebody says, Pastor, we've talked about these things now. Let us stay here till the cross of Christ begins to be manifest in our lives. Till that cross, till you go out on Monday and you will see results because of the cross of Christ. And there will be a difference in your life as a believer in Christ Jesus and the life of someone who is not a believer in Christ Jesus. And that's why we're going to keep talking about this. Actually, Jesus set a very high benchmark. Jesus said, heal the sick. Jesus said, raise the dead. Freely you have received, freely give. You know, cleanse the leper. So Jesus set a benchmark for us to follow. I mean, we have to get to the point where we begin to raise the dead. He said, Pastor, when are we going to stop discussing this? When the power of God in our life is so strong that we'll go out and we'll raise the dead. There are people in the community we know that Jesus is alive. Are there people in church today? And that's why we're gathered. That's why we are discussing this today. And we said now that this life of God in us, we great responsibility, we great authority, come great responsibility. We have the authority of God on our inside. We have the life of God inside of us. We said, listen, when you come to the cross, you come to salvation, the Lord saves you. He finishes, he does a total work in your life. In essence, there's nothing extra to be added to it. Now, religion, where the very idea of religion is this: is Jesus is the cross of Christ plus something else. The cross of Christ plus something. But when we are talking about Christianity as a believer, it is the cross of Christ only. Are you hearing what I'm saying? There's nothing that needs to be added to the cross of Christ. The cross of Christ is a total work for you and for me. It's a complete work for you and for me, so that you and I can live in victory because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. And that is something, that's one consciousness we need to have. Listen to me again. That this thing we are talking about, and this discourse of when we say because of the cross of Jesus Christ, we must understand that when we come to God, and when we apply our authority, and we need to speak in authority, we are not speaking authority because we are good people. We are speaking because of the cross of Jesus Christ. This one will take you to the fact that before, you know, this is salvation. This is salvation. You're living your life, and you know, you not know God. And then when you come to salvation, you get saved, you meet Jesus, you encounter Christ. Religion will tell you now that you now have more work to do now here. In essence, now that you are saved, there's work for you to now do. In essence, you have to try to meet up with something. No. Stay with me. I want to say something very important for you as you walk in this victory. Because this is a place where the devil gets a lot of people. The victory that we are talking about is not your victory, it's the victory of Jesus Christ. So when you come to the cross, when you come to living outside of God, outside of the love of God, as a child of the devil, then you come to the cross, you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and personal Savior. You believe in your heart that He died for you and that He saved you, that you cannot save yourself. Now when you cross over to this side, now as a child of God, there's no more thing for you to do. Everything has been done for you already by the cross. When the work is finished, all the work has been done. It means that there's someone that read in Shepherd's Diary. When all the work has been done, there's no more work for you to do. Actually, we said that the work for you to do now is to worship Jesus. What is left for you as a child of God is to give thanks. Is to live in joy, to give thanks, to worship Jesus, and to give Him your substance and your life as all that you have, because all the work has been done for you. It's not now for you to now think that you will now stand and say, and now I receive healing, and you are receiving that healing. This is why many believers don't walk in it. Hear me now. And you are receiving that healing or that thing that you require or something that you request from God because you deserve it. Because I've been good this week. I pray. I've not done any bad thing this week. So you now begin to stand on your righteousness. Nothing will work for you as a believer like that. Everything works in the life of a believer because of the cross of Jesus Christ. Before he comes to the cross, he can try to get his working for him because of his righteousness. Now, after he has crossed and has passed through the cross, everything that he will ever require will begin from the cross. Are you in church this morning? Everything you will ever require for your life will begin from the cross. That when you begin to pray and you make demand and you release life and you speak the word of God concerning any situation, what I'm saying to you is important. It's not a mental thing. It's not something you just say, okay, yeah, I know. You say, everybody here might tell me, Pastor, I know. I mean, in your heart, you must not stand and say, I receive in the name of Jesus. I release favor upon my life in the name of Jesus. Because you did one good thing yesterday. If that is the base upon it, nothing is going to happen. If you are standing on the basis of your righteousness, at any time, in your heart, you may not be saying about it, you may not be talking about it, but in your heart of hearts, you are speaking now, or if you only speak, let me help you, this is deep, but let me help you. If you only release and walk in authority when you have been doing good, it means that you do not understand it. That's the only reason why it's not going to work. I'm going to say it again. If you only release the life of God and stand in the authority that Christ has given you, through the last week you have been doing good, that's the only time you feel like it, means that you don't understand the word of God. Because in the midst of your imperfection, you have the power of God inside of you. And if you learn to release it, if you are releasing it at that time, it means that you understand the word of righteousness. Is somebody here? Because the tendency, what the devil uses against many believers is that they begin to stand upon their own righteousness as believers. Before you came to the cross, or let me put it this way, even if it is this love of this love of God thing, let me help some of you like this. Before you came to the cross, you were outside of the love of God, a child of the devil. And by the cross of Jesus Christ, by the love of God, He sent pastors to you, sent people to you, He sent His word to you, and then you open up your heart and you got saved. Have you? Now, when you are now on the other side, now as a child of God, many people still think that God is now going to do them harm because of something they did wrong. Did you hear that? I mean, that's religion. I'm trying to cut religion away for because of some things we want to handle today. Religion will tell you now that because you have done something wrong, God is angry with you and God wants to kill you. Now, let me help you do another diagnostic test. If something is happening wrong off in your life, finances is down, there's challenge here, there's one issue here, and the person you think is responsible is God, it means you do not know. Well, we don't understand what we're talking about. Good God, bad devil. We said this several times. Good God, evil devil. Right? I think that my friend said, let's call it evil devil. He said, you rhyme. Good God, evil devil. Now, if there's something happening in your life, when you feel a pain somewhere, or there's no money for you to accomplish something you want to accomplish, don't ever think, oh, God is now doing this to me because of something I did. You hear what I said? That's not God. God does not harm His children. That's the devil. And the devil is using religion to get many Christians to lie low and take nonsense. So when that thing is happening, instead of them to resist the devil, they open their arms and say, God is the one doing it. Whereas the devil is the one doing it. Lord told me sometimes, 7 years ago, He said, many people trust the devil more than they trust me. I said, what's the devil? He said, many who have settled one matter. Devil is evil. But God, they are not certain of Him. God can be do good sometimes. Then sometimes, oh, God can target you. You know why your business is not working? It's because God has targeted you. It doesn't even make sense. While you were still sinners, the Bible says Christ died for you. While you are still living in sin, Christ died for you. Now you are not a child of God. How would God now destroy your business? How would God now cause you to be in lack? That's not possible. That's a lie. That's religion. It's not God. It's the devil. And you need to stand your ground and resist the devil. Good God, evil devil. Come on, everybody show me. Good God, evil devil. And when people have that consciousness, that it is, and I say, oh, it is, you know, once you shift side, it becomes difficult for you to exercise authority. When you think that the person who is supposed to stand by your side and help you, the person is the person who is hurting you. Will you be able to resist the devil like that? You're not feel that you are on your own. You not feel you are standing by yourself. And so you'll not be able to resist. And that active work of resisting, you need to know that you are resisting because of the cause of Christ. And it is the Father who sent Christ to Jesus to die for you. Take your Bible to Colossians first of all. Let me show you something in Colossians. Colossians. Colossians chapter number 1. Colossians chapter number 1. Look at what the Bible says in verse number 12. Colossians 1:12. The Bible says, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance of the saints in light. You see now, giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of the inheritance. Who qualified us? The Father. Are you here? You should have to talk to me. Don't just talk to me. Let's work this out. You have to understand these things. Giving thanks to the Father who has qualified us to be partakers of inheritance. So who has qualified us? It's the Father. And He has qualified us to do what? To partake of what? Of the inheritance. So you and I can partake of the inheritance because we are qualified by the Father. Not because we qualify by what we have done. Did you see that in your Bible? We qualify because the Father has qualified us. He has delivered us, the Bible says, from the kingdom of, from the power of darkness, and conveyed us into the kingdom of the Son of His love. So the Father has qualified us. The Father has blessed us. The Father is on our side. God is on our side. And so when we stand and we exercise authority and we release favor upon our lives, get what God is saying. Oh, glory, amen to that. God is excited. When you stand and you are releasing power, God is excited when you stand and you are resisting the devil. So whenever the devil is coming against you and you stand and you begin to resist the devil, you must have the confidence. Your only confidence you can have is that God is by your side. But if you think that it's God that is doing it, you won't have any confidence. If God is against you, it's worse than if the devil is against you. It's far worse. That's the truth. So if in your mind it is God that is doing it, you cannot even resist the devil. In short, when you say, oh, devil, leave here, you say, hey, how can you not resist God? You see why many believers are living below the plan of God for their lives? Because they do not understand God. They do not understand the love of God. Now, if He sent His Son to die for you on the cross of Calvary, is there anything He would withhold from you? It's just simple thing you think about. If He sent His Son to die for you on the cross, is there anything that God withhold from you? Or if He sent His Son to die for you, there is that God will now use to be afflicting you. He'll be afflicting you with disease, poverty. You say God's now afflicting you. It doesn't make sense. The same person who sent His Son to die for you to pay the ultimate price for you on the cross cannot be the same person who is now afflicting you. It doesn't make sense. How can He send His Son to die for you, suffer a great death on the cross, and then come turn around and say, oh, look at what she did last night. I'm going to wreck her business. No! He cannot send His Son to die for you and then at the same time be attacking you. It's not God. It's the devil. The devil is after you. And you must learn to stop, stand, and resist the devil, knowing that God is by your side. Somebody say, how will you resist the devil? Why would you do something? God is by my side. Is it by your power? No, by His power. When you stand against the devil, you will know you are standing against the devil with the power of God. But the devil first gets you to think that you don't have the power of God. Because you're not qualified, you're not good enough. Because you messed up. So you don't have the power of God. Once He gets you to do that, you might be here and you tell me, Pastor, my thinking is not that extreme. I know it's not God that is doing this. But because of what I've done, I don't have that. I cannot now exercise authority. I cannot now say, devil, no, because it's me that I am. Once you start looking at yourself, considering yourself, you've forgotten about the cross. Is somebody getting something today? Once you start looking at yourself and considering yourself, you've forgotten about the cross. When you start saying, Pastor, I understand. This is the next point. Pastor, understand. Just that I did not. Now I don't think I can now do this because I messed up. Now you say, I know God is not against me. Come on, I know God is not against me, but I cannot resist the devil because I don't think that God will allow me. Why will He not allow you? That power has been given to you. You can walk in the power of God all the time. Amen? All the time. No matter where you are. Why? Because of the cross of Calvary. Because of the cross. You have to receive this stuff. Are you still here? Why do we walk in power? Come on. Because of the cross. Talk to me. Why do we prosper? Why do we have a great destiny? When we look forward into our future, why do we see tomorrow as we have a great tomorrow? Is it because of something we have done? No, it's because of the cross. The cross of Christ is the reason we prosper. The cross of Christ is the reason we have authority and power. Hallelujah. Now, go to Hebrews, where we're looking at. Did you get that? Hebrews chapter number 5. We'll spend some time still looking at that. Because in Hebrews chapter number 5, verse number 13, we talked about this last week. Hebrews chapter 5, verse number 13. The Bible says, For everyone who partakes only of milk is unskilled in the word of what? Righteousness. You see what we just tried to cover just now? Word of righteousness. Are you righteous? Are you trying to be righteous? Bible says if he still partakes of milk, he's unskilled in the word of righteousness. He doesn't know who he is in Christ Jesus. He doesn't know his stand in Christ Jesus. So he partakes of milk only. But solid food belongs to those who are of full age. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised to discern both good and evil. Who by reason of use have their senses exercised. That's what I want to talk about. That's what we talked about last week. We said that these people who are mature, he describes them. He said by reason of use. And we said the word use there in the Greek is also the word practice. Habits. Who by reason of habits, who by reason of practice, they have their senses exercised. So as you practice the word of God, guess what's happening to you? You're getting stronger. You're not trying to get more power, but you're getting stronger in the power of God in your life. Hallelujah. The baby who is trying to walk, who is taking some steps, is not trying to grow legs, we said. The baby has legs. The baby is doing something. He's exercising the legs. The issue with many believers is that they've never exercised their spirit. They've never exercised the spiritual muscle. You've never used your faith to do anything. So you've just been there. And you've been thinking you don't have faith. But you have faith. You have the power of God inside of you. You need to begin to exercise it. You need to begin to lay hands on the sick. You need to go out, talk to somebody, say, I'm not feeling so fine. And then you lay hands on the sick, you pray for that person. You need to begin to pray for yourself. Hallelujah. Are you here? If you've gone home, say amen. You see, when we discuss the word of God and we're talking about the word of God, you need your mind. Without your mind, you cannot appreciate the things that God is saying. Without your mind, you can. That's why I always do that. I want to make sure you are here in your mind. Why? Because the word of God is something you can take, you can see, then go out and practice and believe. You can't believe something in your mind if you don't understand it. The first principle of walking in the word of God is to understand it. And that's why we take time to teach the word. We teach and teach and teach. So you can understand the principle. So you can practice it. You need your mind. Faith, you're not going to get more faith. You're going to get knowledge. Your mind is important. You come to learn. We declare that I've come to church, I've come to learn. You come to learn. And you need your mind to learn. Hallelujah. The difference between what we are doing right now and school is that in school, you can decide to not put your mind to it. You can do what you like in class, not even come around. The highest that will happen to you is you fail an exam. Listen to me. But if you do what you like, and you just realize, what we are doing this now. You know, the lies that will happen is not just failing an exam. It's life, fail life. You don't want to fail in life. To fail an exam is easy. You can write it again. We don't have that chance to play in life, to play with life. So you have to be focused. Open your mind. Then understand what Pastor came to share today. You came to deliver, came to draw something for you today. And you can go with it with your mind, understanding it. And that's where your victory is. My people are destroyed for lack of knowledge. Your victory is in your knowledge. True knowledge shall the just be delivered. If you do not know it, it doesn't make a difference. You can attend any honor you want to attend. You can run anywhere you want to run. It will not make a difference. It can probably give you a temporary relief, but it won't do anything. I'm not standing and walking in authority and power because of some temporary relief. It's because of knowledge of the word, what God has said concerning my life. When there are issues, this is what I use. This is what I stand upon. Nothing more. So you have to understand this, and you have to stay. So be alert in your mind. If you need to stand. I need to get what Pastor came to share with me today, and take this in personal. It's not a group, take it personal. I came to get something. I love when you move this way to get this story. Refuse to be distracted. Keep your mind on the word. I came to just share something with you today. Amen. The Bible says But solid food belongs to those who are mature. That is, those who by reason of use have their senses exercised. So we said it is a matter of use. It's not a matter of lack of faith. You all have faith. No matter where you are, you say, Pastor, I gave my life to Christ yesterday. It's a matter of use. If you begin to use that faith that you have, if you begin to stand up, if you believe in Jesus Christ, that already implies that you have faith. What is faith? You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. Did you see him? No. But you believe. You have faith. That's faith. That's the statement of your faith. You believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. You have faith. And now that faith that you have, you need to begin to exercise it. You need to begin to believe. You need to start off believing for that pain to go. That headache to go. You lay hands on yourself and say, I command you headache to go. In the name of Jesus. You get that headache and that headache to go. You pray for your brother. And you see that pain goes, oh glory. Guess what's happening to you? You're not getting power from heaven. No, you are exercising your muscle. And that's where many believers miss it. Some of you have never exercised a spiritual muscle. In essence, why would I say that? Some of you have never prayed for somebody. Never. And even when you have attempted to, this is what you have done. Father, I pray that you will now come and Lord, that you will heal him. You are not exercising your muscle. It's the father's muscle you are still exercising. And he's done with the matter already. It's your own muscle we need now. It's not his father. The father's muscle is exercised. He sent Jesus Christ to die on the cross. Guess what happened after 3 days? He has exercised his muscle. It's your own that we need to exercise. It's you that need to say, you know, he has settled the issue between himself and the devil once and for all. Today just seems to be another. This church does seem to be another church. Is this one pastor church?
Yes,
are you sure?
Yes,
what's up with you? Huh? Are you sure? I finished from a very great service. Maybe that's what. Very great. We took off. Maybe that's what's still me here. Anybody else is on? I can round up if you want me to. This is my second service. Almost, I've been going almost 2 hours now. Are you still here? The matter of the devil has been settled, taken care of once and for all. When Jesus Christ went to the cross and died, let me show you some scriptures, maybe to help you understand that it's not God does not need to exercise his muscles again. It's done. You are the one that needs to stand against the devil now. Let me show you something. Colossians chapter number 1 again. We'll go to the book of Colossians. No. Chapter number 2 rather. Colossians chapter number 2. One has the, like I told you, one has the liberty to play with his academic work or to play with anything he's learning. But when you come to church, if you play with it, I mean you are very fun. Because we deal with life here, not chemistry and physics. If you don't pass chemistry, no problem. You can fail economics, it's okay. You can fail economics and do well in your business. You fail here, but done. Alright. Colossians chapter number 2, look at what the Bible says in verse number 14. Now, having wiped out the handwriting of requirements that was against us, which was contrary to us, and he has taken it out of the way, having nailed it to the cross, having disarmed principalities and powers, he made a public spectacle of them, triumphing over them in it. You see that in your Bible? The matter between God and devil, is it settled? It's settled. He has made a public spectacle of them, he has finished them. No issue. Go to Hebrews. Again, let me show you another one. Hebrews, chapter number 2, verse number 14. Inasmuch then as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same, that through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is, inasmuch as the children have partaken of flesh and blood, he himself likewise shared in the same. He himself, this is where Jesus, God came to walk. That through death he might destroy him who had the power of death. That is the devil. Devil has been destroyed. You see that in your Bible? There's no power again. Now, as far as God is concerned, he has exercised his muscles and finished the matter. You know what you need to do now? You need to exercise your muscle and put the devil where he belongs. I refuse to be broke. I refuse to be down. I refuse to be sick. I refuse to be depressed. In the name of Jesus, you need to exercise your muscle. I refuse this pain now. Pain can't stay in my body. In the name of Jesus. That, you see that what you're doing? You are exercising your muscle. Then when you find somebody, not God, God is smarter, I said to the devil. You know what I'm saying? You have to put the devil where he belongs. When you find somebody who's also not doing well, I want to pray for you. I believe that God wants you well. And I guess what you lay us again. In the name of Jesus, I pray. Now the healing of Christ I lay upon your body. By the stripes of Christ you are healed. I speak healing to your body. I'm not saying God come and heal. You just say God. I say God has healed him. When did God heal him now? When Jesus Christ died on the cross, said God said to the matter, he healed him. Now I'm exercising my muscle to put the devil where he belongs. Let me tell you, you keep doing that and keep exercising your muscles like that, the devil will shift to one side in your matter. I'm telling you, most of you, the reason why you are there is because you're not exercising yourself against him. He comes to you, you know, I remember a dear man of God once said this, and let me tell you, I took it to heart. I took this principle to heart. Very simple words. I remember when I heard that, it didn't stay in my heart. I took it to heart, and I told myself, I will never be down. You know what he said? The man of God said to me, he said, if the devil comes, I've said this several times to you people too, if the devil comes and takes your Bible, and you don't react, he will come and take your bag. When he finds that you still can't react, can't do anything, he might not just disturb you, he might go try somebody else. If I allow the girl this way, you will get reversed. Guess where you go back to? The weak one can attack. Is that not the safety principle of life? The principle of life. If he can get to you and you can't do anything, and you know exactly what you say, he will keep coming to your direction. So you say, why me? But let you go somewhere. He can't, if he comes somewhere, I say it's without anything to fly past my house or to hang around my area, around my house where I stay in the night. It's a terrible thing. They can fly past where they want, but around my, anything that happens to you, take it like that. Just take it. So fly, pass. It's a risky matter, so don't leave it. I mean, why? I have put angels on guard everywhere. I've been sending my mother in that direction so much that they don't think that nonsense. But somebody else can say, okay, I'm be down afraid. Guess what? When they fly past and oppress this night, they say, no, if you know what they'll do, next night they'll come. What did the Bible say concerning that evil spirit? He said, you cast out an evil spirit from a person, he will go away. The first thing he thinks about is, let me go back and check that my former place, whether it's still clean. When he comes back and it's empty, he won't just now come back again like that. He will go and carry seven more. Is that principle correct from the word of God? Yes. So if you're not exercising your muscle, you say, Pastor, no problem. The devil will keep taking advantage of you. He will put headache. After putting headache, he will put another small pain here. He will not put one lump somewhere. Then you keep arranging your life. And you keep worrying. Oh, there's somebody say, hey, somebody get the pastor. Pastor, please, help me. Let me talk to the devil to leave me alone. I'm not joking. Leave you alone. Who else will he not go and dissolve? The Bible is like a roaring lion. He's seeking him with a devour. So if he passes here, he can't do it. If you go here, this road is easy. You take it down. You keep taking it. This is me. The devil is a defeated fool. You need to exercise your muscle. And let me tell you, you need to be doing this thing actively. Let me tell you this. I've said this something in a certain way. That if the devil wants to get anything from you, if the devil wants to take your health, touch it, wants to hurt your finances, at least let him work for it. You get what I'm saying? Let him work for it. Somebody say, well, Pastor, I'm saying what I'm telling you, see how practical it is. We're not doing this, I'm telling you how to go about it. Somebody say, well, Pastor, when I pray for that, my that pain yesterday, the pain is not there, I want to pray for it. At least if it's coming to, it is putting pain in your body. You are whipping him, kicking him, he's putting I'm assuming he's still there. But you are kicking and fighting, still putting there, you are kicking and fighting. But if you don't lay down and say, there's nothing I'll do. Do you get what I'm trying to say? At least exercise yourself. If the devil is coming at you, declare the word of God.
Speak the word of God. Keep speaking the word of God. Let him suffer. Declare the word of God. Get up and pray. Speak the word of God against him. Resist him in faith. And you see, at least you get reprieve. You will go forward. You keep exciting yourself. As you excite yourself like that, he will know that this one is not for free. If you must do some, if you must get to this guy, you have to work. He has to prepare. He has to work. And he has to work for everything when he comes around you. And so that's exercising your muscles. That's exercising yourself. The child, you see the child take some steps and fall. Most believers, let me tell you this, I'm trying to remove something from your spirit that I'm afraid to fall. Don't say, pastor, don't take it from me. No, pastor, hear me. You follow my example. Don't say that, pastor, I now pray for the pain. I pray for the pain 2 days, 3 days. I pray, pastor, it's serious. So I'm take it. I now have to take this, this. I now feel bad. No, don't feel bad. That's good work. If the child falls, guess what you will do? You sit up again and attempt to walk. Don't say, pastor, I prayed for somebody. He had headache. If the headache did not go, then now he's saying, if you pray for somebody had headache, his headache did not go. Next, they find his headache did not go. If you pray again, then it did not go. Then the person end up going to take it to you have to go, and then go. Fine, no problem. Pray again. You know what I'm saying? The fact that you went, you prayed, and you sought God as something in a certain matter, and you don't see that result clear like this, does not imply that you just keep up and I say, miracles is not for me. I cannot. No, it's for everybody. Are you still here? Take your Bibles to Mark chapter number 8. Mark chapter number 8. I want to show you Jesus. I want to show you from the life of Christ. Mark chapter number 8. Look at it. Then he came to Bethsaida. Verse 22. Mark 8:22. Look into the Bible. Then he came to Bethsaida, and they brought a blind man to him, and begged him to touch him. So he took the blind man by the hand. Jesus took the man by the hand and led him out of the town. We don't know how far they walked. They said I didn't check out how far they walked or where they were. But you can imagine, they brought a blind man, not one person. Then, Bible says, they brought a blind man. At least, if we follow just a simple principle, 4 people brought a leper to Jesus when they opened the roof and let the man down. Let's assume they were up to 4 here. And, well, I want to do some work here, so stay with me. Let's assume they were up to 4. And we also know something. Jesus Christ never really walked alone. So there were a lot of people. But Jesus took the man by the hand, led him out of town. Look at what he says next. He took the blind man, verse 20. He took the blind man by the hand and led him out of the town. And when he had spit on his eyes and put his hands on him, he asked him if he saw anything. Did you see that in your Bible? Jesus asked him, do you see anything? Are you here? Jesus asked him, do you see anything? What was the man's reply? The man was blind before, right? When the man replied, the man said, he looked up, okay, and said, I see men like trees walking. That's Jesus. Jesus took the man. Follow the simple story. I don't know if you are here. I'm looking at you, some of you just there. Follow my simple story. I came to drop something for you. Jesus leads the man out of town, spits on the eye, puts his hand on him, lay hands on him. And John, do you see anything? No, I put his hand. He said, I see men as trees. Jesus now said, oh, I need more power. I didn't pray any, I didn't do any morning devotion. Look at it. Verse 25. That's Jesus' reply. Then he put his hands on his eyes again. So I want to show you this now in applying, because we still have a lot to make from that scripture, but we'll leave it there. In applying the word of God to this world, to our lives, when you apply the word of God and you stand in faith and you say, and then you look at the things and the things are still not the way they are, you are mandated to speak again, to keep speaking again.
And I mean, you see here, Jesus did it again. You could do it again and again. But till you see the result of scripture, many believers, what affects them is that they stop. What I'm saying? They stop, pack up, and leave it. They say, I pray for you, blessing. Pastor, I heard what you said now. I heard what you said. But I'm praying for that pain. So instead of praying for pain, next time, no need to pray for pain. They've lost ground to them. You know what I'm saying? They've lost ground to the devil. And they don't know. Instead of praying for that pain, they stop praying for it. And they say, lost ground to the devil. Because I prayed for that pain last two months. I didn't really say anything. Nothing happened. And I had to now go see the doctor. And I saw that later. Then this pain now came again. Let's just go see the doctor. Pray again. You know what I'm saying? Believe the word of God again and again. Now, as touching a particular matter, if you are praying as touching a particular matter and speaking the word of God, as touching a particular matter, be it health or whatever it is, and you wake up in the morning and then you speak the word of God as touching your health, by His stripes I'm healed, and you feel this pain in my leg. You don't wake up in the morning, just one pain, just there. You don't have bigger. I refuse this pain in the name of Jesus. By His stripes I am healed. In the name of Jesus. I refuse to carry pain. Poor devil, you spirit of pain, get out of my body. In the name of Jesus. And you go. 11 o'clock, 12 o'clock, the pain is still there. And in the name of Jesus. I can't just go. You know what I'm saying? You speak the word again. Then you not pray again. Another one. It has gone down. It's not the way it used to be. But it's still there. What would you do? Speak the word again. Because when Jesus Christ laid hands on a blind man, the man began to see men as trees. He didn't clear it totally. Men became trees. And he can't walk like that. So Jesus had to pray for him again before he could begin to see people clearly and normally. And so that implies that you and I must understand that in applying this thing, don't let the devil cheat you out of your victory. I love the way somebody put it. The fact that it has not come does not mean it will not come. The fact that it has not come does not mean it will not come. So the fact that you've not seen that thing does not mean you will not see it. The fact that Jesus Christ paid for this man and the man began to see men clearly the first time does not mean he will never see men normally. It only implies that Jesus had to put his hand on him again. Do you understand what I'm saying here? And as he continued to do that, you can apply practice there too. As you continue, you can apply practice there. As you continue to do it again. You pray for somebody, and you feel that the pain is still there. You see the person again by around in the evening. You say the pain is still there. Don't say no. Religion, I'm sharing with you, Pastor. Religion will tell you that they now said that you should not pray again. That if you have prayed the first time work is a lie. You know what I said? It's a lie. Pray again in the evening. No doctor gives you paracetamol and tell you take paracetamol, take it once it has finished. Once you finish the morning dose, it should have gone. It's not good. You take antimalaria. How many days you take antimalaria? 3 days. You know what I'm saying? So, it's not a practice of, don't let the devil cheat out of a victory. He says, you pray now that last time in the morning, This is your prayer in the morning, don't pray again. We see Jesus Christ laying hands on somebody again. Are you hearing what I'm saying? And so you speak the word again in the evening, speak the word. And when the person wakes up in the morning, you say, the pain has gone down. But you see there, thank you. Don't say the pain has gone down. The Bible says, if you go now, it's not going. If it's not, don't say, maybe it's not because of rest, the pain went down. Thank God. Oh, thank you, Father. The pain has gone down. Let me pray again. Now the pain is going to disappear. Are you getting what I'm saying? You keep releasing life into that situation. You keep releasing life by the word of God into something. You know, you see that result there. You keep releasing the life of God into it till you get the result that you want to see. Are you here? Don't let the devil cheat you out of your victory. Because the way he cheats believers out of their victory is that when they get up to walk, they walk and they fall. And they do that thing and there seems to be no results. They say that there's no point. This thing is not for me. And they'll just decide to be crawling all the rest of their life. You know that believe in healing. Never believe in miracles. Why? Because they say, I applied myself to a miraculous and the miraculous did not respond to me. So therefore, let me just keep walking. It's just like somebody. It's a funny example, but don't let just keep with the baby. Just like a baby, baby stands up to walk and falls, and now says, "Walking is not for me. I'll crawl." Just imagine the child be crawling for the rest of his life. Why? Because of one challenge. Lazarus, you still be crawling. He said, "Why is he crawling?" He said, "Because he said that time when I got up to walk, I fell down. I spoke the word of God, but I did not." I don't see anything. So, no need to speak the word of God again. Devil has taken his first shot at you. You know what I'm saying? So, in the middle of that, in the middle of the fact, let me tell you, in the middle of the fact that you yourself, you are praying, you are standing there, and you've spoken the word, I'm teaching you practical life of faith. So, you don't think that what you are going through is one separate something fell from sky. You're speaking the word concerning your health. Huh? And speaking the word concerning pain, and it doesn't seem to obey. You speak the word of God, speak the word, and you don't seem to, like, you are excelling yourself, excelling yourself. You believe God, you apply the whole scripture. What is that? I know it's the whole scripture. Let me tell you, and you stand there and you take medications or whatever you need to do, or do something, or whatever you need to do to get out of that issue, and then you go away. You do not now stand and say, now, even in the midst of that, I've lost my ground in Christ. You've not lost your ground. You need to go over that matter again. And in the middle of that, you can stand and even be ministering healing to somebody else. Do you understand what I'm saying now? Somebody says, I'm not feeling so well. He said, in the name of Jesus, I cause that pain to go. I cause that pain to go. You are releasing the life of God to that person. While you are standing on your own ground and fighting for yourself, you can take somebody and help that person also by the word of God. And that person's faith and your faith and by your own faith, you can even begin to see something working in that person's life. And while you are still trying to get yourself standing. Do you hear what I'm saying? Don't say that these people fell from sky. They didn't fall from sky. We are exercising the principle of faith. People should just leave him. He moves from here to here. It doesn't hurt anybody. Do you hear what I'm saying? You start exercising the principle of faith. Don't let the devil get against you and I say, because of where you are, because the devil used against many of you. Now, because of what you are experiencing, you cannot pray for somebody else. Says what? Says who? Why? You can stand and then begin to declare that word of God even somebody else concerning your life. You stand like that. Let me tell you, you never get to the place of perfection. So if you are waiting for the point of perfection, the devil will keep you short from exercising your authority. You never get anybody saved. You never do anything. Why? You say, yes, you are not good enough. You say, it's true. You can't preach to somebody. You're not good enough. It's true. You can't pray for somebody to be here. But you said, you didn't have that issue. Don't let the devil use something you are experiencing to push you out of the ring. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Stand and declare the word of God again and again as touching the matter. It's not like that we say, but you now, did you not pray for your healing last week? Did you get healed? No. Why not pray for someone's healing this week? Come on. But when you pray for the person that first time, why did he not see men as streets? Why will you not be praying for him again? It means you don't have the power of God. Come on. Is that not a lie? From scripture. The power of God is inside of you. You must not let the devil cheat you out of your victory because you stood up to exercise your authority and you fell down. You know what I'm saying? You keep on exercising your authority by reason of use, you get stronger. It's the same thing I told you last week. I said, like driving. You start driving. You find that somebody is driving and he didn't get it straight. You are trying to make a turn and he can't make a turn straight. You've been driving for some time, put lane at there, 6 months, and not been able to make a straight turn. Does that mean the person just park his car and say, I cannot drive? Come on. You keep applying yourself to that matter. Keep applying yourself. People just walk away. If that would apply for driving, how much more it will apply for a spiritual life? Are you hearing what I'm saying? So if you apply your spiritual life, you take that faith matter there, and you begin to do it. If I do not get it that time, does not mean you will not get it. You just need to continue exercising yourself in the matter. So keep declaring the word of God concerning your life. You keep declaring money comes to me, I receive money in the name of Jesus. You say, Pastor, I declare I receive money in the name of Jesus. That day, man, that day was a tough day. Trust me, we've seen it. Go declare the word of God, speak the word of God. And that day seems very funny. It's not as though you didn't say anything. You guess what you do again next morning when you wake up? I receive money from North, South, East, and West. Are you hearing what I'm saying? Not like that will say, no need to say it now. Don't say anything. You know what he has done? He's cheating out of your victory. We keep on standing and standing and standing. The time comes very easy. I remember I told you the story. I paid for somebody. Somebody came to see me. Said, financial issues. We talked about it. In Abuja, very expensive accommodation. I want to pay my rent. I didn't answer that. And I prayed and I spoke the word of God over our life. And she called me 4 days ago and she said, Pastor, thank you for the prayers. I'm expressing financial favors here and there. She said they are small though, but I'm expressing financial favors. I said, we need to increase them. We need to make them big financial favors. You will not say, because you not say small financial favors, it means that, what's wrong about? When I did this one, I did say small one. I said big one. And why is not? And I don't know. No, we stand again and guess what we do? We release the word of God into our life. Release again and again. That is how you exercise yourself unto godliness. Take your Bible. I want to show you something else. See, have some time. Let me show you something else in 1 Timothy. This is a very practical teaching. I'm sure many of you can relate to this. The Greek word, the Hebrew word, we do our fast. But let's share something that we can relate to. You feel. Everybody will share this with you. God, you look at the man of God and you feel that the guy fell from the sky. Somehow you feel that he's just anointed. Somehow you feel that he can get it. Oh, he has gotten it. For me, oh, nothing. No. You can begin to exercise yourself also in the same direction and begin to see the same results. 1 Timothy chapter number 4 and verse number 7. But reject profane and old wives' fables and exercise yourselves toward godliness. For bodily exercise profits a little, but godliness is profitable for all things, having promise of the life that now is and of that which is to come. So you see it now. Exercise yourself. Verse 7. Exercise yourself towards godliness. You see it's an exercise. Come on, talk to me. Exercise yourself towards godliness. So you can start off somewhere, but that's not where you're going to be. If you keep exercising yourself towards godliness, you're going to see that result working in your life. So godliness is something you exercise yourself in. Some of you, where the devil gets you, I think I'm staying here because I think it's one of the biggest points where the devil gets a lot of you. Some of you, because you do something wrong, you even say, some of you even say that you're not even born again. I don't know if you want to give a life to Christ, raise up your hand again. You say, why? Because I did something bad. I did it again and again. After I gave my life to Christ that last week, and I still did something bad again, you still give your life to Christ again. You don't understand. You grow in your walk with God. You can stumble, you fall, you have that issue. But don't let the devil tell you are not saved. Don't let the devil tell you are not, you don't have the power of God inside of you. That's the issue. Bible says exercise yourself unto godliness. So what you need to do? Do you need to live a godly lifestyle? Do you need to exercise yourself? Dump this dirty film you watch, stop watching that stuff, stop being that, and you need to fight the word of God, stand upon the word of God, and then you need to enter into that life that God has in store for you. But if not one, someone just say, I don't even think I can be a Christian. I'm saying, I know what I'm talking about. Some of you have told it to yourself before. I don't think I can be a Christian. It's very hard. Look at that. Look at Brother James. Going to church, serving, doing all that stuff. Look at him. No, and he doesn't even do anything. You're not even Brother James' life, but you just know that. Ah, look at Brother James. Very pure. But me, look at me. The devil now say, you cannot be a Christian. Let me tell you what to do. Just go and live like the world. I say, hey, they'll come to see you. Pastor Frank come and see you, dodge, take, jump fence and run away. Why? Because you've given up on yourself. The devil make many people give up on themselves. And that is terrible. It's even worse than the work that the devil does. It's even worse than the devil does. Because when they've given up on their own themselves, there's nothing for anybody to do anymore. Amen? You are a child of God. You are who God says you are. You can walk in all that God says you can walk in. In the name of Jesus. But do not give up. You get up, you stand, you go, you exercise yourself. All that is missing is simple. Exercise. So in exercise, you can be strange. In exercise, you can fall. Exercise, even in air practice, some people even get injured in practice. Footballer, I know when they practice sometimes, they even injure in practice. Come on, how much more when they are playing the football real? In practice, just practice, they injure. So how much more when you get up in real life, you step out, and you are stepping out in on the word of God. You might not get it all perfect at once. But one thing stands sure, you believe in Jesus Christ. At least your faith, you've exercised your faith in Jesus Christ. You can from that point begin to take further steps. Are you hearing what I'm saying? So you've taken the first steps. The first step is this, I believe in Jesus Christ. That's the first step. At least you can from there begin to take further steps. But don't say, that's where I am. I can't walk in the miraculous power. I can't heal the sick. I can't, I don't have any authority. I don't have anything. I'm just a Christian. That's no longer Christianity. Amen? The devil has defeated that believer. Somebody bless today. I've done my best for you. I just hope that you get the word. Father, in the name of Jesus, I thank you for your word. Thank you for everyone in this place. Lord, I pray for them that by your faith, by the understanding of this word, they would walk and begin to exercise themselves.